Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Saving money on your next project now at Menards. Don't let an outdated garage door define your home. Revamp your home's appearance with a new ideal garage door. Choose from our large in-stock selection or design your own using our free garage door designer. Hurry in and save big money on your next project. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. But welcome to the Michael Massey Gone Watch Along. Not Watch Along, live reaction.
We're watching watch Michael along. Massey leave watching the FIA.
Tommy, yeah. for me, it's the Ferrari F1 thumbnail. You didn't change the thumbnail, Tommy. We're having an
apps.
No, it says the Ferrari one for me. I've done it now. I've changed it.
Okay, perfect.
This has been an absolute chaotic 5 minutes, but Michael Massey is
it's showing. Gone. It's showing his mind. All right. Okay, that's fine.
Okay, cool. Right. So
it's been a chaotic. I'm blaming
breathe.
The FAA
for launching it at the same time.
What is that all about?
Well, they were trying to hide it, weren't they?
They're trying to hide it. It was either going to happen during Ferrari, or it was going to happen during Mercedes yesterday. So,
do you think that's what they did then? They're trying to
trying to hide it. Everyone's watching the Ferrari watch along or whatever, and they're thinking, oh, if we just sneak this out now, you know, we won't get immediate everybody on our case. They'll be like, oh, the Ferrari looks nice. And then it's kind of like, and Massey's been fired as well. So, cheeky from the FIA. But I had a feeling that would
very
happen.
Very cheeky, slightly disrespectful to Ferrari, if I'm being completely
honest.
Yeah,
I think it is very disrespectful. They should have done it. They could have at least, well, no, if they'd done it before, it would have overshadowed, say.
Or just do it a few hours later. I mean,
yeah, or just stop night. Being absolute, like admit your mistake and just say he's gone. Like, you have to do it. It's very, appalling timing from the FA there.
I'm going to change the title to Fired. I think it sounds better. Fired from. Michael Massey fired from F1. fired from. Is that it? Should we call it Fired from Formula One? Just fired.
Well, he might still fired. Come back in some sort of role.
Fired from race director role.
It's still the Ferrari thumb for some reason.
Fired as race director. Okay, there we go. Michael Massey fired as race director. Live reaction. Yeah, and you're getting it. It's pure. It's raw. We have absolutely no preparation for this. Usually there's lots of notes that go on for the podcast, but instead we're just vibing. We're just vibing at Michael Massey being fired. Right. Okay. So I'm going to create a structure in my head, which is, to be honest, most of the time with most of my work. Tommy.
Yes.
What's your 3-word Michael Massey fire review?
It was inevitable.
Nice. What's your 3-word?
Good.
That was
good.
Actually quite good for my brain.
That was really good.
I was expecting it was nice. But well done, Tommy. I'm proud of you for that.
Thank you.
So, yeah. Okay, and what about yours, Katie? What would be your 3-word Michael Massey fire review?
It was time.
Okay, right. We can't all That's just
kind
use
of similar
it
to
was.
Tommy, though.
Come on.
Okay. Bye-bye, Michael.
Wow. Bye-bye, Michael. And I would go with...
Bye, Michael.
Absolutely, bye. Utterly deserved. There you go. Because, look, if we reflect not purely on the Abu... I mean, to be fair, it's not like we were questioning his role just after Abu Dhabi, were we?
No.
Like, there was inconsistencies throughout the entirety of... the time in which he was race director. We had many scary moments, many moments that we haven't usually seen in Formula One that have posed a safety risk, you know, rogue marshals running around and having a bit of bants. And, you know, there's all kinds of moments where we've gone, geez, okay. Like, for example, Imola, was that 2020? Was that when Lance Stroll was it last? I think it was 2020.
It was Imola 2020.
Marshals were on the track and Lance Stroll was going full speed and he and marshals were literally just on the side of the track. You've got a rogue marshal at Bahrain that went to go and put out the Perez electrical fire, from what I remember.
Yeah.
And many other inconsistencies in terms of the actual rulings as well, not just safety.
Tractors on track.
Yeah. Tractor on track.
Sending them out and qualifying in Turkey 2020 when there's still a tractor on track.
Safety car in Baku for Max's puncture, and Leclerc was on the radio going, this is a joke. How have you not, like, Max is walking down the pit straight at 200 miles, like, cars coming past at 200 miles an hour, and you've not brought out the safety car yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a lot was going on.
You know, and then before. If we look at Abu Dhabi in a nutshell, you know, just as one isolated incident, it's fireable, isn't it, really? Because I know, you know, it's going to be, I'm sure there's a lot of salt shakers that are going to come flying through. I'm not talking about who deserved to win the championship, who didn't. Whatever the result and whoever was involved, the way in which Michael Massey bent the rule book was something that was not acceptable. You know, you even had Alex Jakes in Channel 4 commentary trying his very best to be objective, but he was like, Michael Massey has lost his reins on this race, or whatever it was, or he's losing strength on the race. Whatever he said, basically, it was getting
out of
control.
He's lost control.
Like, literally everybody thought that he was losing control, and the final race was just the cherry on top of all the mistakes that had happened. And now it poses the question of, is it going to be better or worse with these two new people involved, which I've never heard of until this very moment? Tommy hadn't either. Katie, have you heard of these people? Do you know much about them?
So Hannah, who is our wonderful WTF1
intern,
we
go. Yes,
she actually, so good on Hannah. She actually had an article ready to go live today about who could replace Michael Massey.
Hello.
And then lovely FIA decided to publish news before we published the article. But yeah, they were both people that she had as candidates for this role. Let me just pull up the information about them.
So basically our intern works for the FIA.
Yeah, Hannah is an insider.
We've got people in places.
Let me have a look. Here they are.
Eduardo is the WEC race director.
Okay.
So, and Niels Wittich is the DTM race director. So they are both race directors.
They're not brand new.
No, Eduardo's been doing race director at the WEC Championship for 20 years.
You'll
so
recognise him.
He's got a lot of experience.
If you ever listen, I'm pretty sure this is who it is. If you listen to a WC race or Le Mans and watch Le Mans, they actually have the live radio a lot. And you can hear, the guy with the chill voice. I've just seen someone in the comments and he's like, we're going live shortly. Everybody get ready. And he's there like, he seems a very good, like, calm and composed guy, but Formula One is, whether he's calm when you've got Toto Wolff and
they're not allowed to.
Horner, but this is it. Yeah. So I think it would be what we need is someone that's more assertive, because like you were saying earlier, Michael Massey, he was making it up as he went along, but also at the same time, just crumbling under what anyone said. You know, it felt like Toto and Christian were deciding what was going on. Mm. 1 week, the final decision went so...
Oh, sorry, Tommy. Sorry. I've just seen a comment. The Wecker here. They've just gone, hi there.
they've lost their race director.
Hi there.
It's very good.
Hi, Weck.
Hello, WC.
Hi.
That's brilliant. He lost control at the end, but was also at the same time he finally went against sort of Wolff and Horner and just made his own rules up on the spot. But he should have been doing that from like the start of just like, I don't care what you guys are saying, I make the rules, these are the rules. But because he did it in such a awful way, broke the rules, finally stood up to it. That was not the time to stand up to like all of that. That should have been done ages ago. And it's just been chaos. So it's about time someone new. And I'm hoping, they get they need more support as well, I think.
Yeah.
Because it's clear that Michael Massey had just lost complete respect from pretty much everyone in the paddock. And that was the main problem, is that they knew they could get onto him. They knew, we've seen that Red Bull new footage, which wasn't new, but got shared around and went massive, of Jonathan Wheatley sort of saying, just get the five cars out the way, and then they do that. You know, they know that they could get in his head, because he was just sort of crumbling a bit. under like whatever they were saying and being too heavily influenced. We saw Carlos Sainz in COTA where he got a penalty and then they were just, he just didn't later on. It's like, you've got a penalty, you need to let him through. And Carlos was like, no. And then there was no penalty. So yeah. They knew they could get away.
Some of that, I think I said it as well at the time, is down to the lack of communication as well, potentially something wrong going with the actual, you know, the way in which team radios are delivered to the audience. You know, we don't know what's actually happened behind the scenes. And I think that obviously was a problem in that as well. Because I can't imagine they'd just be like, penalty. No penalty, you know, and it kind of ended there. I'm sure there were conversations, but you can't feed something to an audience and then not tell them the end result. You know, you can't just sweep it under the carpet. So it is still very important to get that right. Worth mentioning, actually, obviously, you've got Freitas and Wittig, whatever, terrible pronunciation. But you've also got them assisted by a permanent senior advisor in Herbie Blash, who was formerly Charlie Whiting's deputy. So I think that in itself will be very helpful. Moving forward, because clearly they've not just gone Michael Massey is, you know, 100% at fault. They've also thought, right, the structure's not right. We can't just have one person in charge unless it's literally Charlie Whiting, who was, you know, incredible at his job. So, you know, they're trying to do things differently and sort of implement a better support structure, which is always great. But there are a few things actually that we've learned from this, not just that, haven't we? We've got I'm on therace.com. If you haven't seen that, go check it out. Amazing for news and in-depth articles, as well as WTF1.com, of course, Katie Fairman, the WTF1 author. They've announced further changes to reinforce F1's officiating in a presentation entitled A New Step Forward in Formula One Refereeing. So there's going to be a new virtual race control room that will be created that has been likened to football's VAR, which will assist the race director in making decisions. You got to think, well, what did they have before? What happened? Yeah, no, I don't know. Okay.
Yeah, were they not looking at videos before?
Yeah, I know.
Was someone on a typewriter telling them what happened and writing to them, and then they read it as a transcript?
Sing it through.
Rather than watching the replays.
God knows. Katie, you're on the ground in your WTF1 author booth. what are you making of it all?
Well, I'm just glad that, firstly, Mohamed Ben Suleiman, who is the new FIA president, obviously joining in this new role. What a time to join. He had everybody on social media and just generally everywhere getting upset with how Abu Dhabi ended. So Jean Todt was quite lucky in the sense that he was like, okay, well, I'm retiring, so see you later, and just managed to walk out, leaving everything like on fire, and just be like, see you later, I'm out. So I do
SpongeBob
feel,
meme intensifies.
Yeah, literally, being like, see you later. Ben Suleiman had to make sure that what he was going to implement was a real stand against everything that had happened before him, and that he was going to introduce this change. So he said that he proposed an in-depth reform of the organization that includes the refereeing and also race direction, and his ideas were unanimously agreed and supported by the team principals and the CEO Stefano Domenicali. But I am happy to see that, one, the race director role isn't going to be one sort of lone wolf being allowed to just make his own decisions. It's going to be more of a group effort. And also, you know, Formula One is a sport that embraces technology more than most sports, you know, whether that's the technical development of the cars, or that's, you know, how we monitor things like the boards on the side of the track showing that it's a red flag or there's rain on the track. You know, technology is in Formula One's DNA. So I'm glad that they finally sort of taken that to also the refereeing decisions, and hopefully just making life a bit easier for the guys, because, you know, we can all sit here in our armchairs and say, I would have done this differently, I would have done that differently. But it's an incredibly difficult position to be in. And when you feel like you've got the whole world like yabbering on in your ear, whether that's Jonathan Wheatley or Christian Horner or Toto Wolff or whoever it might be, I imagine it can feel very lonely and also a very precious situation. So anything that the FIA can do to sort of alleviate that stress and make it just more of a collaborative environment for everyone involved, I think the better for the sport, really. So I'm surprised, I'll be honest, in the last few days, I did think I was leaning more to the fact that Massey might keep his job. But, you know, he has been taken from that position. I don't think it's the last we're going to see of him in the FIA, because I think, although he's got you know, his name's been tarnished quite a lot by what happened in Abu Dhabi and before then, he's still somebody with an awful lot of knowledge. You know, he worked on Australian V8 supercars. He helped with proposals for when F1 visited tracks like Singapore, and he knows a lot about the safety of the sport. So I think they'd be silly to let him go from FIA entirely. Whether he wants to stay is another thing. He might think, oh, well, if you don't have faith and confidence in me in the role of the race director, maybe I just don't want to be here full stop. Maybe I'll go back to Australia and I'll go back to doing my supercars or whatever it might be. But yeah, I feel like I just talked for really long, so sorry. But,
you're right about the pressure though, because yeah, like it eases that pressure, because however much it was, you know, said it, it's the worst decision he could have possibly made going into that thing. It's so easy for everyone to, be sort of like, to see it and go, oh, I can't believe you did that. Whereas the situation was, it couldn't have been any more high pressure that we finally had this title battle. It came down to literally the final laps. And yes, he broke the rules, but the other side of the coin was the fact that one of the greatest world championship battles ever was going to end behind the safety car when all the teams agreed they shouldn't make it behind the safety car. So there's doubts in your mind of like, oh, I'm going to get so much hate if this goes behind the safety car. And I'm not saying that, you know, there's no way it should have ended the way it did, but also you've got to think that even if it had ended under the safety car and Max had pitted for softs and blah, 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 it almost have got, it wouldn't have been as bad because he didn't break the rules essentially and it just ended under the safety car. But the media pressure would have been exactly the same of people like, oh, Mercedes favorite, you know, you just wanted Lewis to win. Max was on soft tires. You needed another lap and we could have had this amazing showdown to the title. So he was kind of doomed either way. But I think it's more on the fact that, well, yeah, one, he made the worst decision and broke the whole rules of the sport. And two, it's all the other pressure from before as well. The fact that there were all these mistakes that we were talking about at the start. So, yeah, it's not.
Yeah, I mean, I don't envy the position he was in. You know, he was doomed if he did, doomed if he didn't. And I think, obviously, if it's the only way, because obviously the whole point, the whole conversation, which I find strange anyway, is the fact, you know, we don't want to end the championship under a safety car. Like, that's not something that's putting entertainment over the sporting integrity and the safety, which, you know, you can't rush a safety car because they need to finish it under green. So for me, it's that in itself is just a bit weird that was the kind of thing going into it. So, you know, obviously Massey had that pressure, and the only way he would have gotten away with it is if he'd flown a red flag. And to be honest, I'm surprised he didn't, still surprised he didn't. If that was the pressure that he had, nobody would have had a go at him. Maybe some Lewis Hamilton fans for the fact that Lewis has obviously lost this advantage, but then the safety car's out anyway. So, you know, if he really wants this stand, you know, this amazing finish, you do that. Then both drivers can change tyres and away they go.
I was going to say, even if they went for a red flag in Abu Dhabi, obviously Hamilton would have benefited anyway because he'd be able to change his tyres.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah. I'm surprised that it wasn't called as a red flag. But then the whole season, we've seen delays to red flags being called, whether that was in Baku, as Tommy mentioned earlier, with the whole scenario with Verstappen, or even Mick Schumacher in Saudi Arabia, when he smacked into that barrier, is exactly the same place that we saw Charles Leclerc do on the Friday. And I remember messaging at the time to Tommy being like, that's evidently a red flag. He's completely demolished the barriers. That's going to have to be repaired. Yet, in that whole time, it was Hamilton, wasn't he? He pitted, he got new tyres, Max stayed out, and then a red flag was called after that. Why was that not an immediate decision? I know that there has been, in, you know, looking at the records, more red flag races recently than there has been in previous years. But at the end of the day, safety's number one priority here. It doesn't matter if, you know, 50% of races in 2021 were red flagged or whatever statistic it might have turned out to be. Safety is safety. So, I'm surprised we didn't get a red flag in Abu Dhabi. I feel like that would have been the best decision available.
Yeah, definitely.
Because he did it in Baku.
Exactly, that's what I was going to say.
Can argue they did exactly that, where any other race, like, we've never seen that before. If a race is red flag with two laps to go, you don't have a two-lap sprint. Yeah. But there's clearly something now where they are there's no doubt in my mind that Michael Massey has been told to like prioritize as much as he possibly can. Obviously, there's safety, but he does need to prioritize, you know, the show and the excitement, because there's no way 10 years ago, even 5 years ago, they're in Baku, forget Abu Dhabi, even Baku, they're getting that race underway again after the red flag. So it is this new era where clearly, you know, they're trying to make it as entertaining as possible.
I want to question that, because I feel like a lot of the times red flags come out right at the end of the race is because of heavy rain and they can't race anymore, as opposed to red flag and getting back underway because of dry conditions. I don't think we ever usually see that. And so I don't know if that is the thing where they just sack it off. I think it's usually when they can't race anymore due to the conditions, and then they run out of time, unless you've got examples that go against that.
Think of people, yeah, crashing at the end and then red flagging it and not going. But yeah, it's one of those things. I need to look into that.
Because, I think a lot of the time it's usually they just fly a safety car, don't they? Or put out a safety car. They don't tend to usually red flag right at the end of a race. But either way, you know, it's a strange situation. And yeah, you know, I'm glad they put it back underway. I don't think there's many people out there, apart from obviously the driver that gets hindered the most in the lead, that's going to really have much problem with a red flag. I love a red flag. It means that, you know, we get another start again, and it's exciting. Obviously, it's a bit crazy when we get red flag after red flag. But I don't think there's many people out there that would, you know, be against firstly putting safety at the paramount and the top of, you know, the priority list, but also getting a restart. It's exciting, apart from maybe sprint haters, because apparently they don't like more than one race start in a weekend. Other things to mention, Michael Massey will be offered a new position within the FIA. Whether he takes it or not is another matter, whether it'll be, I don't know, the caretaker, or if it'll actually be something, you know, relatively important. You'd imagine he would have an important role, as you said, Katie, because he's got that experience under his belt, even if some of it's probably he went the wrong way. I'm sure that he would have also learned a lot from that, because, you know, we can't say that he is 100% at fault for everything that went on. It's not a one-man show, this. And, you know, we've already said about the teams piling pressure on. So that's something as well that we kind of hinted on, but they won't be able to do. So direct radio communications with the race director during the race will not be broadcast, and team bosses will not be able to interfere in order to protect the race director from any pressure and allow him to take decisions peacefully. However, there will be some element to contacting race control, but that will be through, it's understood to be, you know, and someone else that they can then filter it through to the race director rather than directly.
That's what we said in one of the podcasts, I think, that they need a third official, fourth official, like you have in football.
WTF one for the FIA. I think that's
go to them. It makes perfect sense, because we did that post where we're saying, you know, should they be allowed or shouldn't they? I've got nothing against Toto Wolff speaking to another person to say, I think this, here's my 2 cents or whatever. And if it's important, that person can then pass it on to Michael Massey or whoever's in charge now. What I don't like is that he can get on the radio and go, no safety car, no safety car, no safety car. And then Horner's on the radio going, please safety car, please safety car. Yeah, exactly. So thank goodness for that. It's awful, because even as a Max Verstappen fanboy, I absolutely hate. I was playing guitar, so it's
been replaced. He's a Tifosi now. I don't know if you're watching our Ferrari watch along, Katie.
It's
a 10 out of 10. Tommy's now put his application in.
I've got my orange on. So. So I've lost my. You've made me lose my train of thought completely now.
That was Katie's fault.
Sorry, I'm so sorry.
Whatever it was, must have been a great point.
We're talking about radio broadcasting and how talking to a fourth person.
I can see Tommy's face.
It just makes so much more sense to do that, because, you know, the influence of someone just getting in your ear all the time is too much. And a 23 race calendar as well. It's like, I don't want to be like, oh, poor guy, but like that must have been exhausting for like everyone involved in the sport. Such a grueling schedule. You probably was just, I imagine half the it's motor racing comment was, I am so done with this. I just want a holiday.
Yeah. It's motor racing. It's probably the last thing I'm going to say now. Goodbye.
I remembered my point now. What I was going to say is, even as a Verstappen fanboy and whatever, I absolutely hated the way Hamilton had to lose the title that way, did not deserve to lose the title that way. And the fact that, yeah, it's a shame that it's taken this absolute S show for this to happen. And it's good that they are doing this and putting things in place. I just wish Abu Dhabi didn't have to happen for this to happen, basically.
Yeah, agreed. I think it would, as we mentioned at the top of the show, I think, you know, it was still in conversation even without that. But I think Michael Massey probably would have survived had Abu Dhabi not happened. I think he would have carried on in that role, which, again, would have been a topic of conversation. Other things to mention. So there's going to be a reassessment of the procedures defining how cars unlap themselves behind the safety car, which to me suggests, with actually no sort of, plain statement in terms of what they're actually changing, is that they don't really need to reassess it. The rules are very clear. They just weren't followed, which I think is kind of skirting around the subject there with that one. Because, of course, Massey allowed 5-lap cars to go through, but then didn't allow the rest of them, which was obviously for entertainment's sake. But, you know, we've already discussed how bad of a decision that was in terms of sporting integrity. So, yeah, I think there's going to be a review there, but I'm not sure they will be very vocal or public with what goes on there, because I don't think they need to change much. I think it's very black and white. You just have to read the rule book. So Ben Silliam said, with this plan, FIA opens the way for a new step forward in Formula One refereeing. Without the referees, there is no sport. Respect and support of the referees is in the essence of the FIA. That is why these structural changes are crucial in a context of strong development and the legitimate expectations of drivers, teams, manufacturers, organisers, and of course, the fans. So clearly they're taking it very seriously. They've made a big change. Whether it'll be the correct change, we don't know. But on paper, it seems as though it's going to hopefully improve because there's less stress, less impetus on one person to make the decisions.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to how the FIA are going to handle things in 2022, because, as we said, you know, it's a chance for them to have a fresh start. We've got a brand new FIA president. We're going to have brand new F1 race directors, a new change to the way that they referee things. Obviously, the elephant in the room, the whole new 2022 regulations. It's going to be a new technical rule book, a new sporting code. So hopefully F1 can use all this momentum to really push forward for good change. Yes, we can. Well, I don't want to say leave Abu Dhabi in the 2021 season behind us, because I think that's, you know,
I don't think people will ever get away.
Well, like, no, we can never forget what happened. No, we can never forget what happened in Abu Dhabi and the massive injustice that was served there. But yeah, it's just a shame that it had to tarnish what was an unbelievable Formula One season last year. But, you know, the amount of outrage is rightfully justified.
We've got Netflix to look forward to and see how they handle that. They
ain't going to handle that sensitively. They are going to go full drama.
They probably had a camera in Massey's face. That's probably why he was so under pressure and didn't know what to do, because they were probably in the, wouldn't surprise me if they were probably in the room with him filming it.
Imagine like the scenes.
Maybe Massey had a GoPro on his head like that, trained TikToker.
Francis. God.
Oh, that would be incredible content.
That'd
be amazing. Yeah, it is sad, because the 2021 season was absolutely unbelievable. And, you know, this last race very much clouded the season, which is sad. You know, it clouded it for me. I didn't mind who won the title, but the way in which it all went down, even as a neutral, you think, oh, you know, that's a bit over the top, isn't it? You know, we've had so much craziness, so much drama, which wasn't, you know, manufactured for entertainment. But then we had that and you're like, really? Come on. So, yeah, it's
in the chat,
a difficult
British
one.
Bias.
Yeah, British, like, bias. No. Goodness gracious me.
Hang on, let me sort my British bias out.
Yeah,
2 seconds.
Yeah, someone, Tommy's going to go sort his British bias out and put a Max Verstappen cape on. Clearly people weren't watching the Ferrari watch along, because I was fanboying hard and I will fully... Oh, hello, here we go. Yeah, he's... He's put the cape on, finally.
British bias, there we go.
I love it. I absolutely
if
love
people
it.
Are tuning in right now, Tommy, that's not going to look very good, is it?
I don't care.
And you're, and to be fair, you're probably one of the most objective and fair Max Verstappen fans I've ever come across.
Yes, it was a travesty the way it was handled. I was extremely happy that Max won. I think he deserved the title.
Yeah.
No doubt he was the best driver throughout the year. I just wish he didn't have to do it in that way because, yeah, it was a very odd and peculiar ending where you didn't get that. I personally didn't get that like moment of like, oh my God, this is amazing. Cause I, like there was that bit in the back of my mind that was like, that's not quite right. However happy I am, I really wish it didn't have to be done like that. So there you go.
There you go. Right. I think let's have a look at see what people are saying in the chat. Anything interesting? Put your questions in. We'll maybe cover a couple of questions because that's what we usually do on WTF1 podcast when we don't wing it and just go live straight away. So put some questions in the chat. I know it's slightly delayed, so I'll wait for that to happen. Then we can maybe answer a couple.
So I said, wear that at Silverstone.
Oh, do it.
There's a dare.
Yeah, you would, though.
It was actually quite funny when we were at Zandvoort. There was a guy that wore, do you remember the guy that was in full British? He wore like a suit with Union Jacks all over it and a top hat with Union Jacks all over it. And it was really funny. And people were coming up to him and saying, like, that's hilarious, well done. Whether they'd have said that if Hamilton had won the race, well, I don't know. But
just taking a look at the chat and seeing.
Is it called Stroop Waffle?
Oh, Stroop Waffles, yeah.
Oh, those were
unbelievable.
I
used to just... I used
thanks
to,
for reminding me
to
I didn't
fair,
get one, so...
Back in, like, what, 2018, 2019, when we were in a London office, Tommy, I used to just buy a pack of Stroop Waffles just for bants and just eat the whole lot just whilst at lunch. It was brilliant. Some questions. Do you think Max will keep his title? The Daily Snail. What a great question. No, it's a terrible question. I'm sorry. It's not going to happen. Nothing is a terrible question. I'm joking. But no, Max is keeping his title. Yes, there's no debate there. It doesn't matter if the FIA came out and said Michael Massey went rogue. It still is Max's title. There's nothing that can happen.
Despite
now,
the case void closed. Lap 58 thing that people have now started. It's not, they can't do anything. Like,
yeah, exactly.
It's not like they gave the title and can do it. Like Max still overtook him on track. And then it's like, it's not, however much it's not unfair, like it's really unfair on Hamilton. It would also be really extremely unfair on Max because
he did nothing wrong.
He got put in the position to like, do you want to win the title? And you know, there's always some hilarious takes on Twitter and stuff. And I saw one that like, Max should have been gentlemanly and stayed behind it. Like, yes, a racing driver doesn't want to win his first world title when he's got the opportunity presented to him. So
he did nothing wrong. He doesn't deserve to be stripped of the title because, you know, he drove the race and that was the hand that he was dealt. It's the FIA's problem, unfortunately. Why did the FIA publish all of that during the Ferrari launch? We kind of covered it at the start, Sagal, but essentially to hide it. What's awful in the box behind Matt? It's a green screen, Sam. What else have we got? Any other questions that are interesting? If you see any guys, please do shout. What about the results? Should it be overturned? No, it's not going to be overturned. And it
will
shouldn't
Lewis
be overturned.
Will Lewis retire again now? Well, he wasn't retiring.
He'll retire. No, I think he's come back because he knew that Michael Massey was getting fired, to be honest
with
you.
Yeah, that was one of the big rumours that he demanded it to come back. That whether it's true or not, we don't know. And we'll probably never know unless I doubt he'll even say that in his book. But
someone said new race director, John Cena.
I mean, he'd be a lot more forceful than just,
Just,
are you sure about that?
Yeah, that's one way to stand up to Toto and Christian, that he'd just scare them.
Yeah.
And then they wouldn't be saying all that stuff to him, would they? If that's the thing, they knew they could get in Massey's head, didn't they? But just
question, big question actually, from Minnie Miller: was Michael a fool man or no? Scapegoat, I assume you mean by that, but yeah, was he the fool guy?
Who?
I don't understand the question.
Was Michael Massey the fool man? So was he taking the fall for the FIA's incompetence?
That's an interesting one. Or Netflix. Netflix were there with a gun to his head.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a rule book that you need to follow, and he didn't know the rules.
Yes.
So
go on, Katie.
That's
off
my
you
take.
Go. Keep going.
And again.
Sassy, say it again.
well, just look at Spa. We didn't follow the rules there. And there are quite a few of it, like circumstances where the rules weren't followed. So just going to leave that there.
Love that. Let that simmer. Tommy?
No, it was his fault. However much I do feel sorry for him to a point because of, you know, not the easiest job in the world, and I definitely wouldn't want to do it. But yeah, at the end of the day, he's the one that has to make those tough decisions. Charlie Whiting did it. So, you sometimes just have to be unpopular and just do it. So, and he should have done that a lot throughout the season, you know, when people are getting on the radio and saying this, this, and this, he just needs to get back to him and say, STFU.
Yeah. ABCDEFU. There you go. It's a good song. Now, this is probably the biggest question of the lot, so I hope both of you are ready for this. This comes in from Hawthorne Hawk, who asks, why is Michael Massey? Thoughts?
Great question.
I just love it. And in a comment underneath, Timo just went, oh my God, I just ate a stroopwafel.
Whoa. Oh,
mind blown.
Someone said, Tom, super, super, Tom. I've seen some comments saying it's because of Mercedes complaining about Massey. Yeah, I think that's not, I'm sure that is not far from the truth, Raheel. Who will be next race director, Trevor? It has been announced. And it is, the names are, I've got them somewhere here. If you want to say it. Here we go. Eduardo Freitas and Niles Wittich.
Yep.
Who are from DTM and WEC. So they are both experienced race directors. Any other questions that we can
get? Those names learnt, Katie, for your podcast rants this year.
Yeah, I wonder if we didn't have any FIA rants this year.
Imagine if they're just really like good and you don't have to say anything. You just be like,
no, I'll be happy. I'd be really happy if they were good. Because although I enjoyed doing some of my rants because it was a bit like free therapy, it also got to the point where like every week I was having some kind of FIA rant, and I was aware that I just should shut up because it was every single podcast.
Oh dear. Some more questions I'm seeing. Jello Feliciano says, are Katie's pillows orange because of WTF1 or it came before the role? It's a big question, that.
Well, they're actually yellow, which is a bit of a shame.
That
like
is,
my
that's
chair.
That's a big shame.
But yeah, that came before WTF1.
Oh, if we'd known that, we wouldn't have hired you.
Oh, well, yeah. I'm here now. So
it's all lies. It's all lies. Right. Okay. I think that's pretty much sums up the Michael Massey live reaction podcast. Tommy, final thoughts?
I was going to say, thank God it's over, but it kind of isn't, and it will be going on for a long time. But I'm glad they did it, and what a shame they did it during. Why couldn't they've done it for the Mercedes launch? Because that could have been their happy to hear the result. Yeah. Whereas doing it in the Ferrari launch yesterday, there was no car launch yesterday.
They've done it then. Well, yeah, they're hiding,
but,
aren't they?
But yeah, so they wanted to hide it. I will just end with, oh my word, that Ferrari is beautiful.
Oh. I'm actually surprised that that Mercedes didn't say that we want to announce Michael Massey's departure in our car launch. Like, they could be the ones. And we're pleased to announce, thinking the car's going to come out, Michael Massey's gone. That would be...
That's our livery. It says Michael Massey's gone on the side of the livery.
And Katie, what's your final thoughts?
My final thoughts are, best of luck to the new race directors. So I hope that their experience will come.
No.
Oh, and Michael Massey. Have fun at the job centre, hun.
Is that best of luck? Is that best of luck because of you or just generally in the situation?
No, just generally. No, I'm not going to be like the race director inspector, just like constantly critiquing them. But yeah, genuinely, best of luck. I hope that they enjoy the power and responsibility that comes with the role. And here's to a consistent and well-regulated 2022 F1 season.
I wonder what they'll do about stewards and if they do anything about that as well. We'll see that if they decide to maybe get someone in a bit more permanently. We'll see. But that is a conversation for another day. My final thoughts are, it's definitely needed. It was, I think, a lot for both fans and probably Mercedes It was something that had to be done because, unfortunately, it was getting out of control. Whether it would have the same results if it was Michael Massey in charge with this different structure, we don't know. But clearly the FIA don't want to take that risk. So let's see. Open mind for 2022. And fingers crossed we get a close, entertaining season with no farces. That would be lovely.
Yes,
right.
Please.
Thank you, everybody, for watching and for listening. Please give us a like if you love us and subscribe if you are new. We are trying to get to 1 million subscribers. I know I keep saying it, but we are still trying. So therefore, it's still legit. Thank you, Katie. Thank you, Tommy. Thank you, everybody. And we'll see you very soon for another video. Bye.
Bye.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today. Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.